This series is called Ordo Salutis, which, if you haven't been to seminary or you don't know Latin, means order of salvation. You know, you run into a sort of order when you get to Romans. Actually, we're going to read it here in a second. Romans 8, 28 through 30. About how salvation is affected, kind of logically and in time. And yet the way that salvation is affected for each and every one of us is different than how you and I actually experience it. You and I don't experience the salvation until two or three steps in when we have faith and repentance. And yet we know that God from all time marked in the book of life those who would be his. We know that it is a sovereign act of God. So it's important that we stop and look and consider the various elements of the order of salvation and in order. How do they come about? Well, the very first step in the order of salvation is calling. Calling. So that's where we're going to start today. Now, have you ever noticed that if you're in a room full of crowded people and they're all talking, but someone across the room says your name, you can hear it? You can barely hear the person in front of you talking to you, and you're trying to lean in and understand what exactly, maybe you're trying to lip read a little bit to understand what's going on, but someone over here can say your name and it just clicks. You can just hear it. Did someone say my name? There's a sort of power that comes when someone says your name. In fact, for a long time, airline traffic, they operated under this rule that you would always, in the midst of all things, be able to hear your own name when it's called. So all pilots had their communications open all the time. And as a plane came in for landing, they could hear every other plane, and the air traffic controller was talking to everyone. But when he said your name, you tuned in. Now imagine that. Would you want to be on an airline where the pilot is hearing the chatter from every single other airplane while he's trying to do the landing of the plane in a day and age where there really wasn't much automation? That is scary. And yet, our brains are so configured that when you hear your name, you can just zoom in. Actually, they've done some MRI research on this back in the late 90s, and they found that when you hear your name, the left side of your brain fires. It fires in a way that it doesn't fire when you're just talking to someone or when there's just speech going on. There's some power when your name is called, and there's a physiological response. You ever notice that? Someone calls your name. Do you just stay where you are? No. You have a reorienting response. You reorient to the person who has called your name. It is instinctual that you turn to the person who is trying to call you. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about God calling you, you individually, in such a way that it radically reorients you and you turn towards him. Well, before we read God's word, why don't we go to him in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you do call us out of our own sin, and instead make us those who would follow after you. Those who were enslaved to sin all of a sudden become alive in the Spirit, are adopted as your sons and daughters, made princes and princesses in the family of God, and we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, would that truth animate us and be seen in us so that all would know who you are in our lives. We love you and pray this in your son's name. Amen. Well, we've got a number of texts here. I'm going to read all three of them. All three of them have to do with calling. So let's start with Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And then 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then finally, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. These are phenomenal passages that speak of God's power and his ability to call people into life. But actually, when we talk about calling, there are two types of calling, and we need to distinguish between the two types of calling in order to be effective here. In the first place, there's external calling, and in the second place, there's internal or effectual calling. I will refer to it as effectual calling. So, external calling and effectual calling. Sometimes these two coincide. In fact, when there's conversion, these two always coincide. But external calling can happen without there being an internal call. What do I mean by that? Well, an external call is simply the presentation of the gospel. Right? An external call happens every time the gospel is presented. There is an external call. Now, that external call may yield a response inside someone's heart. If that happens, then that is an internal call. But oftentimes, external calls happen and there isn't an internal call. There isn't a change in disposition towards the Lord. Even for those of us now who are converts, those of us who believe Jesus Christ, we can point back to times in our lives where maybe we could say there was an external call, but there was no internal call. I wasn't converted when I heard that call the very first time. Now, I hope the truth for many of you and the truth for my children is that they don't remember a time when they didn't have that internal call. Right? You don't have to remember a time when you remember your internal call. I wasn't and then I was, in order to be Christian. That's not true. But for a number of us, that is true. In fact, I can give you my own testimony. The very first time I remember hearing an external call, I was about 5 years old. We had an uncle of mine who was living with us. He had just gotten out of the army. He was going into reserves and was kind of in between places. Needed about 6 weeks to stay somewhere. So he came and stayed with us and lived with us that time. And he was, a good guy, good uncle. And he would do what uncles do. He would chase us everywhere and tickle us all the time, and wrestle with us and throw us off things. And we'd pile on top of him. He was a good uncle. And one time, I remember, he sat my brother and I down. He was always spiritually minded, bit of a charismatic, but he sat my brother and I down and asked if we had ever asked Jesus into our hearts. And so he began to tell us about who Jesus was, that he was the Savior of sinners, and what the consequences might be if we didn't believe in him, and then asked if we wanted to pray this prayer where we asked Jesus into our hearts. And of course, you've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and you're worried about going to hell. And so he said, yes, I want to pray that Jesus will come into my heart. And so you make this prayer, Jesus, please come into my heart. But guess what? Did my life reflect anything different? Did I begin to walk towards the Lord Did I read his word? Did I want to go to church? Did I want to be around his people? No. But that was the first time I remember hearing an external call to the gospel. It wouldn't be the last. I would hear a number of them here and there through life. I remember another time my mom was going through a particular religious phase and she was joining a Baptist church, and so she was being baptized. She'd been baptized as a baby, infant baptism, and then she wanted to be baptized as an adult, and so she wanted her two sons. At that time, I was probably 15. My brother was 16 or 17. She wanted us to be baptized with her. And so, you know, pastor came over to the house and did this interview with us and asked if we believed that Jesus Christ was our Savior. And we said yes, and he prayed with us. And then we went to the church the next Sunday and we were all baptized. So for you Baptists, I have been infant baptized and believer baptized. I am covered. We're all good. Okay? It didn't change me. The very next weekend, I was out doing exactly what I was doing before. I had no interest in reading the Bible. I had no interest in being with God's people. No interest whatsoever. My effectual call wouldn't come until I was 22. Until after I was married. Until an event happened in my life that finally got me to open my spiritual ears, as God often does. We'll get there. So, external call is a presentation of the gospel. An external call doesn't always have to have internal call that goes with it, though when it is effective, those two definitely coincide. What does an external call consist of? If you want to have an external call, you need at least three elements in your call. Those three elements are a presentation of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Now, it doesn't have to be a systematic precy that tells you all the ways in which the person of Christ and all of his works fulfill the offices to which he has been ordained, how he's your perfect priest and perfect prophet and perfect king. It doesn't have to be all of that. It can just be Jesus Christ is very God, a very God who came down to die for sinners. He took the wrath of God for his people that they justly deserved so that he might wrap them in the righteousness that he has so that his people may be reconciled to a holy God who cannot stand in the sight of sin. It can be even more simple than that, right? But it is a simple presentation of Jesus Christ as an actual person who actually did something. Every once in a while, you will hear people talk about this silly saying. Apocryphally, it gets attributed to a number of people. I think Aquinas and others preach the gospel every day and use words when necessary. That is dumb. Do not mince words. It is idiotic. There is no gospel call without the name Jesus Christ. If you're not saying Jesus, you may be doing a wonderful job as a neighbor, a friend, or a coworker, but what you're not doing is you are not proclaiming the gospel. Okay? So it needs to at least proclaim something of who Jesus Christ is. Secondly, it needs to let people know that there should be a response. And that response needs to be repentance and faith. Here's Jesus Christ, here's what he has done. Now let me invite you, my friend, to rest. This crazy world wants so much from you and it perturbs you all the time. Let me call you, invite you to genuine rest. Repent and believe. And by the way, that repentance doesn't have to be a perfect repentance. Because there's no such thing as a perfect repentance. When I go to glory, and at some day when there is judgment, and I am shown all the ways in which I have sinned, and therefore all that Christ paid for me, when I look at that, there are going to be a number of responses for me, none of which are going to be, yeah, I knew it. Yep, repented of all that. No. It's going to be a mound, and I am going to be heartbroken, gobstopped, enthralled, awed that God could forgive all of that, that Jesus Christ was willing to do all of that for me. But it's only then will I fully understand the depth of my depravity and sin and the necessity of Christ. So there's no perfect repentance. It's just a call to repent. We will talk more about repentance is later in the Ordo, right? Because that's one of the steps of salvation. Let's see, that is coming up on the 30th. So that'll be our third talk. So it's a call to faith and repentance. Who Jesus is, call to faith and repentance. Third element, promise of salvation. If you believe on Jesus Christ and Him alone, He saves you. There's no qualification there. There is absolute and utter salvation that is available to you. You can be reconciled unto a holy God. You can be adopted into a royal family. You can be given a treasure that will never fail or falter, that no moth nor flame nor rust can get, that will be stored up for you forever, my friend. And all you have to do is reach out with faith and repentance. So those three elements, who Christ is, a call to faith and repentance, and a promise of salvation, those are your three elements of a basic gospel call, or an external call. Now let me ask this question. Who is it that is meant to actually engage in the process of giving external calls? Me? Right? Me, for sure. I'm a preacher. Of course, me. If I don't do it, there's something really wrong. Was it just me? Just elders? Just deacon? Just men? No. It's everyone. All believers are called to give calls. Right? It is a way in which you mirror your very call. It's a way in which you show the enthusiasm with which you have for grace itself. Is by being one who gives external calls. Now, does that mean you got to be a street preacher? You got to go out there with a soapbox and that you've got to have your board sign? And no, of course not. Right? Does that mean that every neighbor you encounter, every coworker encounter, you've always got to be talking and giving external calls? No, of course not. This requires wisdom. It requires care. It requires showing people that you care about them as a person, as someone made in the image of God, more than just as a conversion story that you can tack up on your wall. Yeah, that person was converted because of me. Insider tip, no one's converted because of you. Right? You are not the one that converts people. You're just not. However, you are called to have the external call everywhere as those who believe in Jesus Christ. That you are to give external calls and being those who are so infatuated with God's grace that almost oozes out of your pores how much you love Christ and what He has done for you. Some people will accuse Calvinists of not being evangelical, right? Of being so bought out to the fact that God determines who's saved and isn't, that there's no reason to go out and to evangelize. But that's why putting call first matters, right? It emphasizes the human instrumentation of making sure the word goes forth to all people. The only Calvinists I know who aren't interested in evangelism are Calvinists who aren't saved, right? How can you be saved and not care about evangelism? That can't happen. How can you look at fellow image bearers on their way to hell and be unmoved? That can't happen. That's why having call first matters. We're to be those through whom a call is seen. We're not the ones through who it's effective, right? It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. And Him using His word well. And yet, He uses, because He loves us as His instruments, that call may go forth. So who is to be doing an external call? Everyone. Everyone who believes is to be doing an external call with all the people that are around them. As you find time, as Christ reveals it to you, as you can winsomely get in people's lives and tell them about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is nothing more important than that in all of life than that you put this call in front of them. Now, there are a number of things that impede people, so where they don't do external calls. Doing an external call, if you've ever shared your faith, it is a scary endeavor. Right? It is scary. You're worried that you're not going to articulate it well. You're worried that they're going to be angry or offended if you do it. You're afraid of their response. You may be afraid that they're going to bring up some sort of defeater about why you shouldn't have faith and it's going to rock you. All the fears in all the world. And yet Christ tells you that he doesn't give you a spirit of fear. That is Satan trying to keep you from proclaiming Christ to as many people as possible. You rest in Christ. You worry about Christ. Christ is powerful enough. He can give you the words to say. He can worry about responses. He can worry about offenses. And sometimes the gospel is an offense, and that's okay. We're not trying to be offensive, but if the gospel is offensive, well, that's on them. So that's an external call. That's different, of course, from internal or effective call. Effective call is the call that actually makes someone change. Again, let me go back to my life for a moment. The difference between external call and effectual call. It was September of 2002. I was 23 at the time, almost 24. And you get one of those calls that you never, ever, 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 ever want to get. And my wife was the one who picked up. And all I remember is waking up with her in tears to the point she couldn't talk and just putting the phone in my face. We didn't have cell phones, right? It was an actual, like, wireless phone. And picking it up, and all I could hear is, "He's dead." I didn't know who. It was a friend of mine. One of our close friends, a guy who was an usher at my wedding. He wasn't a druggie in like a drug alley somewhere. You know, he wasn't an addict. He was a guy who did recreational drugs every once in a while. But he wasn't a believer. And he had done recreational drugs and it killed him. No 24-year-old goes and gets a heart exam. Right? You're 24. Who does that? And it turns out he had a particular feature in his heart and the drug hit it and it caused it to stop beating. And so I had to bury this friend and I stood in my master bedroom weeping with my wife. I was the only one of this big group of friends, probably somewhere between 60 to 80 of us. I was the only one that would have said that I was a believer. I wasn't. But I would have said that I was a Christian. And I was weeping, and I said, "I don't have any assurance that my friend is anywhere good, and I don't know how much of that is my fault, because I never gave an external call. I wouldn't have known what it was, to be honest, because I wasn't really a Christian." In the midst of that, a friend of mine at work who was going to Reform Seminary and doing their online stuff, he gave me a copy of the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, let me tell you, as far as evangelism tools are concerned, I don't know that I would ever recommend using the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's just not usually the first tool out of the box. Maybe start with an R.C. Sproul, a John Stott, you know. excuse me. But that's what he gave me, and he knew that I was kind of a curious guy in more ways than one, and he thought this might answer some questions. And I read especially the second chapter on the attributes of God, and I wept. I just wept. And for the first time, it began to be true for me what the gospel was, about who Christ was as both Lord and Savior, that who I was as a sinner, desperately in need of salvation. And he had given me a copy of the Westminster Confession that had the proof texts. That was the important thing. I didn't want someone's opinion. I wanted to get to Scripture. What did the Word have to say? And so I had the Westminster Confession over here, and I had the Bible over here, and every time I was trying to look just to make sure that it was right. And it pushed me into the Word. And sometime that weekend, I was converted. How do I know that that was the weekend? How do I know that effectual call, the effectual call, by the way, that was not my friend, the effectual call that was the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is interesting because it's a call that's not audible. It's not a preaching call. It's not a talking call. But at least two of your ministers here were converted through texts, not through preaching. Me through the Westminster, Derek through John Stott. Right, so not all calls have to be audible calls. But I know that it was effective because of its fruit. And that's how you know. It's not about a moment. It's not about emotionalism. It's not about fear that I'm somehow going to end up in hell or trying to appease my mother or trying to do something for my friends. It's about me and what I saw in myself. I was terrified. And the fact that I wanted to turn away from how I was, the trajectory I was on. I was an okay. I mean, I was an IT guy headed for upper management. I mean, I was an okay dude from the outside, but I was death inside. Not because I was doing drugs, not because I was alcoholic, none of that. But because I didn't have Jesus. I was dead inside. And this changed. All of a sudden, it wasn't about me being terrified of God's laws and being afraid to read the Bible because it was going to have me put something down that I really loved. It wasn't about making sure that I always walked the finest of lines. It wasn't about sword drills. It was about knowing who Jesus was, loving him, wanting to run after him, having a hunger for him as a person, as I could know him through his word. That's effectual call. Like when someone calls your name and all of a sudden it radically reorients you. That weekend, he called my name and it radically reoriented me. Praise the Lord for that. There's a journey. He calls your name and it makes you pivot. And where you were headed before that may have seemed so sweet is nothing. And all you want is him. The rest of that journey is the rest of the Ordo Salutis. And we'll get to that over the next 12 weeks or so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you save sinners like me and like us. Lord, help that to be at the center of all that we do. Help that awe. Help that passion to be seen by those around. Help us not to be those that would hide the light that you have given us, but to be on display so that people can more and more know something of the grace and mercy that is in you. Help us to have the courage to give external calls to people. And Lord, would you be well pleased that you might use us, human instruments, fallen human instruments, in order that people might turn and hear their name whispered by you. Do it, Lord. Get all the glory and honor for it. We love you. Amen.